Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to spend these next few minutes together with me as we continue on looking at Psalm 23, the comforting presence of our good shepherd. We haven't gotten very far. We've gotten to verse 3 where it says, He will lead us in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. He will restore our soul. And the restoring of our soul refers to the wounds and the pain and emotional degradation and the emotional hurt and pains that happened in our past. God is the one He's the only one who can really heal us, heal our memories, give us the ability to remember back, but not to have with a sense of pain and hurt. He is the one that pours in the balm of Gilead, but also He leads you in the paths of righteousness for His namesake, which means that there is a present and a future orientation to this aspect of that verse. What are your plans? Have you submitted them to the Lord? Have you sought His mind? And of course, we're speaking now of long-term goals and things that involve your destiny, but also what about today? Do you submit your daily plans to Him? He will direct you. This is a promise for guidance, basically. Three priceless promises are revealed in these verses. We've talked, as we've looked so far at the psalm, there's rest, there's restoration, and He's also our guide. He's promised His guidance. He's also promised that He would lead and guide us in the way that we should go. He will direct you in the paths of righteousness, not because you're so wonderful. None of us are wonderful. He is wonderful. That's His name. But for His name's sake. That's how Moses prayed. That was a brilliant prayer that Moses prayed, because God was ready to wipe out the Israelites. He said, let me alone that I might destroy them, and I'll make a house after you. And God and Moses prayed. He said, For your name's sake, don't let the heathen say, because God wasn't strong enough to bring them into the promised land. That is a very, very powerful way of interceding for those that were just, you know, had tried the Lord's patience and long suffering. But beloved, He will lead you, and this conveys this leading in the paths of righteousness. It conveys the concept, the ideas of straightness, of conformity to His word, and of deliverance. He's leading you in the paths of righteousness for His glory, for His name's sake. And this means because it is His very nature to do so. Psalm 5:11 states, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. David had known the bitterness of sin and its consequences. He had known what it was to be chased by one-time friends, fearful for his life. He knew what it was to be surrounded by enemies. Through it all, he could proclaim, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In looking back to just a couple of situations, as we look at the life of David, some of the places he found himself in, remember in chapter 21, verses 10 through 15, and before that, actually, he's fleeing from Saul. And so he fled to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, this was a real low spot in his life. But what does he say? in verse, let me just read these verses. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. He knew his life was good be forfeit. And so he changed his behavior before them, and he feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the door of the gate, and he let a spittle fall down upon his beard. He was putting on a real show. And then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? That was, you know, how David chose to get deliverance from what could have been a very difficult situation. And so also, as we see in 1 Samuel, going on in the 22nd chapter, we see David therefore departed thence, escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and all his fathers heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. You know, David's a type of Christ, and isn't that true? Can't you see yourself as part of this motley group? Anyone in distress, anyone in debt, anyone that was discontented, they went and joined themselves with this fugitive, this refuge from justice, if you will, as far as Saul was concerned. He was out for his life. David's men had all been unhappy, helpless, and you might even say worthless. Whatever, whoever was in debt or in any kind of trouble went to David in the cave of Adullam, and David made them one of his mighty men. Beloved, is this not beautiful? David is a type of Christ, and he, although he was spurned and rejected by those who should have loved him, yet there were some, like Jonathan, who saw God's call and anointing upon his life, but even his brothers didn't understand. Remember Eliab, the oldest one, came down and said, What are you doing here? When his father told him to bring victuals and sustenance for the army that was you know, at a standoff with Goliath the giant. And so he's a type of Christ. David was, of course, a shepherd. Christ is our good shepherd, and he's brought in all those whom the world has cast out. Before they came to David, they were outlaws of society, if you will. They were outcasts. But the moment they joined themselves with David, they became ennobled. And you may not realize this, but afterwards, they stayed faithful to him till the end. They were raised up to be his princes and the officers of his kingdom. Hear what the New Testament says about you and I in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I want to read verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen and amen. So God has taken what the world has rejected, what the world has no use for, if you will, and has made us part of his precious body. We too, whom Christ has chosen as his friends and members of his body, are by very nature poor, unworthy sinners, with nothing to recommend us, but simply this, that we've followed Jesus, and that he's touched us with his royal hand, and this is enough to make us glorious and illustrious. Sinners, by nature and practice, beloved, we've been washed in his precious blood, and our love to him is better than being born of royal blood, for we have been born of him, and we are the sheep of his pasture. We have been adopted, which had the same privileges, in fact, even greater privileges under the Old Testament times, because you could never dispossess someone that had been adopted. We can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Praise God. What a glorious place that God has called us to, that we, when Jesus returns, we, with a part of the remnant, those who remain faithful to the Lord, we will rule and reign with Him. Now, what does that all entail? I don't know. It involves ruling and reigning. And God's got it all planned out. Don't worry. You don't have to worry. He's got it in hand. When the time comes, we'll know exactly what to do. We'll be equipped. Praise God. And then let's look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death. Beloved, your troubles may be as dark as death. You may be going through some just terrible, horrible, terrifying experiences right now, but He is with you. You are not alone. You're not defeated. This striking expression was probably on Hebrew lips, nothing more than a forcible synonym for a dark, gloomy place, like the darkness of a dungeon or the pathless desert, and metaphorically of affliction. Or it could mean literal, a time when the end of a person's life feels like it's at hand. God is with us in the darkest places in our lives. I just want to stop here. Father, in Jesus' name, there are those who are feeling the oppression of the very dark place right now. And Lord, I thank you for lifting that darkness in Jesus' name. Beloved, the very light of my presence is shining to you right now. I shall make a way for you. I am the light of life, and I am your light, and my word shall be a light unto your path, and it shall show you the way in which to walk, and I will deliver you from every evil force, every work of the enemy, all the things that would attempt to put fear in your heart. Fear not, but trust in me, for I am your God, and I will fight for you, and I will deliver you. For he that trusts in the Lord, I shall save them to the uttermost, says your God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being our good shepherd. Praise God. Shall death nor life, things present, things to come, nothing's going to separate you, beloved, or me from the love of Christ. Thank God. Well, this broadcast has flown by, and with the Lord's help, we will bring this to a conclusion tomorrow. I invite you to join me then. I want to thank you for your prayer support and the faithfulness of God's partners that He's placed with this ministry. If it wasn't for your faithfulness, beloved, this is a faith ministry. We only continue by how God touches the hearts of His people, and that we're able to continue on and go forward with the love gifts that they send. I love you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass A. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.